Thank you so much for joining us, Amanda.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Now, there was a national community attitudes towards violence against women survey conducted in 2017. Would you be able to tell us about its findings?
Yeah, sure. So I think that there's some good news in overall findings of the survey. So that was administered to Australians between the ages of 16 to 65. In 2013 and 2017. So it examined people's understandings and attitudes towards violence against women and their attitudes more broadly to gender equity. So, look, the good news story is most Australians have accurate knowledge of violence against women, so they can identify what constitutes violence against women, and they do not condone this violence. Most Australians support gender equality, and most Australians understand that violence against women is more than just physical. But on the flip side, there were concerning results. So there's ongoing decline in awareness that men are more likely to perpetrate violence against women. A concerning proportion of Australians believe that gender inequality is exaggerated or no longer a problem. And 2 in 5 Australians believe that women make up false reports of sexual assault in order to punish them.
Oh my God, that's that is quite daunting. How have young people's attitudes towards family violence changed over time?
Yeah, so the survey kind of distinguished between younger Australians and older Australians. So it looked at the shift in attitudes between 2013 to 2017, and for young Australians, the survey actually showed similar trends to the broader or older cohort. So there was, again, increased understandings of what constitutes violence against women and increased endorsement of gender equality. And of course, these findings are really heartening given the gravity of the problem of violence against women and the horrific reality that on average one woman per week is murdered by her current or previous intimate partner. Only this week another young woman was murdered, as we know, which is really concerning. So the shift in positive attitudes is a really good thing for young Australians. But again, there were also concerning findings with the younger cohort, which was again consistent with the broader cohort. So nearly 1/4 of younger Australians agreed that women tend to exaggerate the problem of male violence, and 1 in 7 young people believe that women often make up false allegations. So those are the concerning sorts of findings that we're seeing.
Of course. Now, what role do schools play in educating young people about violence and abuse in relationships?
I think a really important one. Schools have played a significant role in teaching students the values of respect and equity. That's a key role of schooling. Social, moral and personal learning is embedded in our agreed national goals for schooling and in our national, state and curriculum framework. So schools do have a moral and social purpose as well as an academic one. Now, in terms of an explicit focus on gender equity, in schools, as early as 1993, the Commonwealth Department of Education and Training developed a position on gender-based violence education for Australian schools, which involved my colleague, Associate Professor Deb Ollis. And she subsequently developed a curriculum resource for primary and secondary schools, which was a whole school approach to addressing gender-based violence, and that was actually more than 20 years ago. Now, around that time, there was really great Australian research being conducted about the high levels of sexual harassment occurring in our schools, including in early childhood settings, and other researchers were looking at the broader gender equity and structural inequalities that, for example, impact on girls' post-school options. So at that time, there was really high visibility and resourcing of gender and other equity reform issues across Australian schools. But by the late 1990s, there was an anti-feminist backlash and government funding cuts, and that led to a policy and practice kind of vacuum in this space. And actually, the focus for a time turned to resourcing boys' education. But recently, as we know, there's been renewed government efforts to address gender-based violence in schools through a whole school approach. So there's been real injection of energy and resourcing to schools to play a greater role in this space with the implementation of respectful relationships education.
Yeah, and speaking of that, you know, the Victorian government implemented a respectful relationship program in their schools. Can you tell us a little bit about this?
Yeah, so the Royal Commission into Family Violence in Victoria, which was conducted in 2016, recommended that respectful relationships education be mandated in every school from prep to year 12. So Victoria is currently rolling out respectful relationships education over 1,000 government, Catholic and independent schools. Respectful relationships is actually included as part of the curriculum across Australia. So each state has a respectful relationships education, but there's differentiation across state and territory governments in terms of how proactive they've been in recognising the key role that it can play in the primary prevention of violence against women.
Yeah, right. Now, what challenges might schools and educators face in implementing the respectful relationship program?
So there's a lot of challenges, but I just want to perhaps tell you a little bit about the education program.
Yeah, please, go right ahead.
So it's a primary prevention program. So it seeks to prevent violence before it occurs. And it does that through a focus on challenging rigid gender roles that support gender inequality. And it's a whole school approach, which is really, really important because it's beyond just teaching in the classroom. So it supports schools to examine gender in relation to a number of different areas, for example, staffing. You know, is there gender disparity in leadership positions, teaching responsibilities, and so forth? So often male teachers are responsible for discipline and all male-dominated sports coaching, for example, which sends particular messages about gender. It looks at the school culture, so is the climate inclusive and welcoming? It looks at professional learning, so are teachers provided with adequate and ongoing support to teach about gendered violence? It looks at teaching and learning, so does the curriculum and pedagogy foster students' critical awareness of gender and violence? And that also looks at community connection. So working beyond the school, it asks if schools are really connecting with their community to support the challenging of rigid gender norms. So it does a lot in terms of supporting schools to really focus holistically on this problem. And you did note, or you did ask me about the challenges, which of course are many, even though, you know, respectful relationships education has been embraced across Victoria and across many schools in Australia, and it's seeing some success in shifting gendered attitudes, but yeah, there are significant problems that remain. So the first one, I guess, is addressing misinformation, resistance and backlash. So there's a lot of misinformation out there that respectful relationships is about gender engineering, or that it alienates and shames boys and men. A key, I guess, challenge in this space is engaging boys and men in gender justice work. And it's really important to see that men and boys are experience the costs of dominant forms of masculinity and rigid gender norms just as girls and women do. So it's important to recognise that gender inequalities hurt men and boys as well as girls and women, and that's important in terms of engaging boys and men in this space. It's also important to acknowledge the complexities of violence against women. It's not just an issue of gender. It's an issue of how gender intersects with poverty, indigeneity, ethnicity, culture and disability. We know that violence against women is much more prevalent in Indigenous culture, in Indigenous societies. So we need to recognise how gender intersects with other identity relations. We need to adequately fund schools and support their ongoing professional learning if we want these sorts of programs to work, and we need to support schools to better respond to disclosures of violent related trauma. This is a really tricky space for schools.
Of course, yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, thank you so much for joining us, Amanda. We've unfortunately run out of time, but I really appreciate you coming on the show to talk about such an important topic.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for inviting me.